I must have sounded a bit confused during my children's sermon. I had asked Chase and Cheryl to call. I didn't expect Linda to call or Brian to call. And I actually wanted Gail to call, and I had changed her name to God in my phone. And when she called, I was going to show the kids that God was calling, but God didn't call. So I'm going to have to change her name back to Gail. We'll do it again sometime. Oh, you tried twice and couldn't get through? Oh, my goodness. If God can't get through, oh, my goodness. What does that say? All right. Well, today I'm continuing my sermon series on facts, frequently asked questions. And one of the frequently asked questions that troubles us is this: why do our prayers seem to go unanswered? Now, Jesus said in John 14:13, I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father might be glorified through the Son. Now, doesn't that mean that if we pray in Jesus' name, that all of our prayers will be answered? Well, that's what I want to reflect on in the next few moments. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us to understand this amazing gift that you've given us, the gift of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure most of you remember the name Tony Campolo. I have mentioned him from time to time. He actually began his ministry when he was young, serving some of the small Presbyterian churches, as well as some small American Baptist churches. And then later he became a professor of sociology, and then he became the founder of an organization called the Evangelical Association for the Promotion of Education. And then not too long ago, he helped create this movement called the Red Letter Christian Movement. And basically, it's people who want to focus on and think about and live out the red letter words that we find from Jesus in the New Testament. Well, back when he was a young pastor in one of the small churches, a little boy, a nine-year-old boy, developed cancer. And, of course, the entire congregation rallied around this family, and they all began to pray, and they had prayer vigils, and they had prayer chains. They did all sorts of things to pray for this family and pray for this little boy that he would be healed. And some of the church members actually went to the parents and said, oh, we are believing that God is going to heal your little boy. We are praying. We just know that God is going to answer our prayers and heal your boy. Well, after a period of struggle and ordeal, the little boy died. And soon after that, the family, the parents, quit going to church. And so not long after that, Tony Campolo went out to pay a pastoral care visit. And when he got there, he spoke to the father and he said this: Ralph, you can't stop believing in God just because he didn't answer your prayers. And Ralph answered, oh, that's not it, Tony. You don't understand. I didn't stop believing in God. I just hate God. He hated God because of what happened to his son. Now, Campolo went out there having researched some answers to some possible objections that these parents would have, but he was not prepared for that response. If God can do anything, then why did all of those church prayers go unanswered? In 600 BC, the prophet Habakkuk was called to begin his prophecy. The Babylonian Empire was sort of running all across the countryside, all across the known world, conquering the world and wreaking havoc. And Habakkuk was concerned about that, and he prayed to God and pleaded for God to stop the Babylonians and to cause them to stop their violence. But it's as though his prayers fell on deaf ears. Habakkuk did not understand why God didn't respond and what in the world God was doing. And the Babylonians ended up attacking even Israel. When Jesus gathered in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, he was in great anguish. And he went off by himself. He left three disciples to pray. He went off by himself to pray. And he pleaded with God, saying, "Abba, Father, please take this cup of death away from me." It's as if Jesus was saying this, "Father, since you can do anything, please find another way to save humanity." Jesus prayed earnestly, compassionately, and sincerely, but God remained silent. In 2 Corinthians, we find Paul addressing in that letter the Corinthian people, and he said this, "To keep me from being conceited, a thorn was given me in the flesh." Now, commentators, biblical commentators, are not quite sure what that thorn was, but we have a theory. We think it had something to do with his eyes. And the theory basically comes from what he wrote to the Galatian church in his letter to Galatia. In chapter 4, he wrote this, "And you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. And I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have even torn out your own very eyes and given them to me." Now, what biblical scholars think is that Paul had some sort of problem with his eyes, possibly because of the scales that fell off of his eyes after he had been encountered by Jesus on the Damascus Road, that he had some sort of problem with his eyes, and that the people of Galatia were even willing to give their eyes to help him feel better. Well, Paul was troubled by this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed over and over again, pleading for God to remove it. And what did God do? God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you." Well, God the Father is not like most of us as parents. As parents, we want to take good care of our children. We want to make sure that they do good things and eat good things and so forth. We don't want them to eat a lot of junk food, but sometimes they pester us so much that we cave in and we say, "Okay, go ahead and eat what you want." We've probably all done that. But God's not like that. God will not answer our prayers according to what we want if those answers will be unhealthy for us spiritually. He simply will not answer those prayers. And only God knows what's best for us. Now, many times when we pray, we offer trivial prayers. We pray for success and for happiness and for safe travel and things like this. In fact, sometimes we say this, "Lord, please take care of us and make us happy and give us success and bless us as we travel on our way." Well, those prayers are fine. God's not offended with those prayers. But God wants so much more for us than just that. The Son of God came into the world not to make us happy, but to make us like Himself. I'm sure you remember the name Saint Augustine. Sometimes he's called Saint Augustine, one of the greatest theologians for the last 2,000 years. He grew up in North Africa in the 4th century, brilliant individual, but he was rebellious. He was a prodigal son. His mother prayed for him constantly and continually, hoping that he would come to know Christ and change his wild ways. Well, on one account, he decided he was going to go to Italy to take on this great adventure and live out this prodigal lifestyle. And she was quite concerned about that. In fact, so concerned that she stayed up all night the night before he was to leave, and she prayed constantly, "Oh God," she said this, "Please, oh God, let him stay here in North Africa so that one day he might find you and serve you." But the next morning, it's as though God didn't even hear her prayer. He got on the ship and off he sailed, went to Italy. She was quite discouraged. But God was doing something in response to her prayer that she did not expect. He gets to Italy, he gets off the ship, and he begins to roam around, and by God's providential guidance and care, he bumps into this individual by the name of Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan. Ambrose was brilliant, he was wise. He had a tremendous heart for Jesus. And Augustine was so touched and moved and blessed by his experience of being around Ambrose that he wanted to have the kind of life that Ambrose had. He wanted to come to know Jesus because that's why Ambrose was the way he was. And so he professed his faith in Jesus and became a believer, and everything changed. And later, Monica discovered that her prayers had been answered, but in a way she didn't expect. Now, later in Augustine's life, he wrote a prayer of thanksgiving for his mother's prayer. And this is what he prayed. "Thou, in the depth of thy counsels, O God, hearing the main point of her desire," my mother's desire, "regarded not what she then asked of you, but that thou mightest make me what she ever desired, that he would come to know and serve Jesus." And that's exactly what he did. He became one of the greatest theologians we've known. God doesn't always give us what we want, but God does give us what we need. Though Habakkuk struggled to understand what in the world God was doing and why God didn't respond to his prayers, he continually kept on praying, and then eventually it all began to make sense that maybe even God was using the Babylonians to do something to help change and improve his relationship with the Israelites. And then when you flip over to chapter 3 in Habakkuk, you find these words. He said this prayer, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crops have failed, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." What Habakkuk discovered is that sometimes when God is silent, that silence actually changes us, and the change within us becomes the answer to our prayer. Jesus didn't get what he wanted either. He wanted the cup to pass from him. He wanted God to find another way to save humanity. And he prayed fervently for that to happen. And then he would go back to see the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and what were they doing? They were sleeping. He got frustrated with them. "Can't you stay awake? Can't you pray?" Went back and prayed again. Kept coming back, and they were asleep. And then all of a sudden it dawned on him, wait a minute, they're not going to make it without me and without my help. They're not going to make it unless I die for them. They're not going to make it unless I go to the cross. And all of a sudden, Jesus had the answer to his prayer. And the answer came in a way he did not expect. It came through the sleeping disciples. The Apostle Paul felt the same way. He didn't understand why God would not remove that thorn in the flesh, but then he came to understand that that thorn actually became the answer to all of his prayers. Why? Because the thorn made him look weak. But God said, my grace is with you and my grace is sufficient. And the grace of God became visible through Paul's weakness. And when it became visible, Paul became stronger and more powerful in presenting the gospel than he ever could have been without that thorn, without that eye disease, whatever it was that he had. And so the answer to his prayers came through that thorn. It's almost as though God was saying to the Apostle Paul, you want me to take away your thorn? Said God. Well, here's my grace instead. When people see your thorn and your weakness, they will know that my power is at work within and through you. Sometimes we have no earthly idea what God is doing and why God doesn't respond to our prayers. We sometimes get confused, we get frustrated, we even get angry with God's silence. But if we keep on praying, just keep on praying, eventually we'll be able to see that God is with us, God is responding, and God is doing something, even though we may not completely understand. There's a story about a grandfather who went to visit his grandson, and when he got there, this grandson was in his playpen. And he walked into the room, and his grandson stood up and said, Grandpa, Grandpa! And he lifted up his grandson, just like I've done with Riley and Judson many times, and swung him around and around and got down on the floor, and they laughed and tickled and played and had a big time. And then all of a sudden, his daughter came in, the mother of little Jeremy, and she said, now, Jeremy, you shouldn't have made Grandpa take you out of that pen. You knew you were supposed to stay in there because you talked back to me. So Grandpa felt terrible. And he sat there for a minute, and he tried to think what to do, and then all of a sudden he got up, he lifted up little Jeremy, and he put him back in the playpen. And he stood there for a minute, and then all of a sudden he lifted up his leg and he put it over the side of the playpen, lifted up his other leg, put it over the side of the playpen, and he lowered himself down into that playpen, and he took on the punishment of little Jeremy so that everything would be all right. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He stepped into our world. He lowered himself into our world, took on our punishment when he died on the cross so that everything would be all right between us and Almighty God. Why did he do it? Because he loves us so much and because he wants us to know and understand that God hears our prayers and does respond to our prayers. When Habakkuk prayed, he pleaded with God to stop the violence of the Babylonians. And we learn from that, as well as from Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as well as Paul praying and pleading for God to remove that thorn in his flesh, we learn from those things that God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes God is completely silent. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says yes, but not in ways that we expect. But as long as we continue to pray, pray continually. Do what that picture at the top of your bulletin says. Keep praying. We may not receive what we want, but God will always give us just what we need at just the right time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.